Thank you very much, Richard. So the big question today is, what takes you out of your comfort zone? I was reading, I don't know who's had the latest Mendip Times, which is a glorious edition, isn't it? It's beautiful. Yeah, so I don't know if you've had a chance to read the story about one of the Mendip cavers, and he's now pretty near to retirement. But he went and explored caverns, and you know on the Mendips that there are some like first-time descents that people are still doing. And the stories that he wrote on there made me shiver. Although I admire his hobby, I would not really enjoy doing what he does. And in this story about Zechariah, we have a supernatural incident occurring in Zechariah's life, which takes him completely out of his comfort zone. He reacts badly. I mean, an angel appears to you. How would you respond? And then he has 9 months to muse over in silence his experience because he's struck dumb. So this is the first Sunday in Advent, and what I want to say is, where is God in your life, and what extraordinary things have happened to you? I had a sermon already prepared at the beginning of the week for this, and I've changed it completely. So this was written yesterday, so it will be interesting how you respond to this. So we can be certain that God in his love will take us out of our comfort zones. We may feel that we're extremely comfortable living in a glorious place like Rington, but God is purposeful in his efforts to stretch us so that we grow. So I want to speak to you about somebody that some of you will have known, and that's my dad. So he came here for a few years, probably 17 years ago now, I think, when he died. But he came for a few years before that, and I know some of you knew him and were very friendly with him. He had a very kind of Christian life, very black and white. He was obviously married to my mum. They had 4 children. My mum died in her 40s, and then he got married again. And the second marriage was pretty near disastrous, really, to be honest. And there were a lot of issues around that. And my dad was really kind of flawed during that time, and he had a really difficult time sort of dealing with the kind of outcomes of that. But one thing it did for him was it stretched him. So there was somebody who had a very kind of together kind of life, knew black and white, knew good from wrong, and yet God stretched him. God led him into new ways of worship. And one thing he did was his new wife's friends, he would then sometimes go out to church with them. And some of them were Catholics, so we would go to a Catholic mass with them. And I know that doesn't seem so sensational these days, but this was my dad that didn't even believe Church of England were terribly great. So here was somebody who was really willing to stretch himself. And then when he came here, he lived in a very different way than he lived before, and that was real kind of growth for him. A second person I want to talk to you about is somebody who grew up in a charismatic church, so had a very evangelical background. And as she grew up, she was told that if she was a Christian and she lived to the Christian dictates, that God would provide for her a nice husband with children and everything would go very well indeed. Well, a good husband, Christian husband, never came along. And she found in her 30s that she was still desperate to have children and to be married, but that didn't seem to be on the cards anymore. And so she found a new way of worshipping God, which was through the Quakers. So she moved from being a charismatic fundamentalist to being a person that just loved to sit in silence and contemplate the mystery of God. In her case as well, life circumstances caused her to be stretched, but to see God in a different way than she'd seen him before. So we may find that we are stretched maybe through health issues, through relationship breakdown, through financial struggles, through employment issues, maybe events in childhood which affect us again in adult life. And I think that now more than ever we agree that life is a journey. And that's especially true of our spiritual life. you may be able to reflect on how God perhaps over the years has become more central to you. So Fi and I left Rington in 2010, so this is now 14 years since we'd really seen most of you. And just returning, I could see how you, who had been worship here from before we left, have grown, been changed, have blossomed through the Holy Spirit's work in you. It's been one of the joys of returning, is to see that effect. But some changes can cause great stress and challenges. When I was here before, you may have known me as a very sort of black and white evangelical that had a fairly kind of sceptical view of life, and I was rather black and white, a bit like my father. And through attending Bible college and now 15 years of ministry, I've learned that God doesn't always answer prayers in the way that we hope, because he is intent on our personal transformation to become more like him. And most of the time, this can only happen because of the stuff that we go through, the real stretchedness of life. Now, I know some of you have run marathons in the past or in the present, and you know, don't you, that this takes a lot of preparation, takes hours of running, and takes a lot of pain to get to that point when you can run the 26 miles odd and feel that you can carry on breathing at the end of it. So I've always believed in God. I've grown up in a loving Christian family. At age 11, I gave my heart to Jesus. And at the start, I had what was called now a simple faith. I believed God and he answered my prayers. Some Christians, such as my mum, continue to enjoy that simple faith. And maybe for you today, some of you have that simple faith. And I'm not here to knock that, because I think there's a lot of value in that. But for many of us, there is so much which goes on in our own life and to those around us and the world as a whole, that we have to learn how to think in a new way. So firstly, I want to say to you this morning that I hope that what I say helps you to understand where you are on the faith journey and where others may be. So on the practical journey through life, we can perhaps tell where we are. But the spiritual journey can be quite nebulous, and we're all on different places along it. So you may find that somebody you talk to is on a different stage of faith than you, but that doesn't make them superior or inferior to you. We mustn't judge or be envious of each other. Now, I define spirituality as the way in which we live out our response to God. So remember, it was God coming to us that have made us believe us in him, that gave us the opportunity to have faith in him, to become his children. So it's the way that we live out that response to God. And I define faith as the reference to this journey, the process by which we let God direct our lives. In other words, letting God be God. You may have found by now that you can't put the money in the great divine slot machine and out comes an answer to your prayer. It doesn't work like that. And yes, occasionally God in his grace gives us that car parking space, gives us the bus that waits for us when we run for it, gives us those immediate answers to arrow prayers. But a lot of the time, God is doing his mysterious work in us, through us, in other people. So we have to allow God, we have to let God be God. And you may be in the position where you feel a bit stuck in your spiritual life. And that can often be because you are scared about the move into the unknown to which God is leading us to. We have to first of all accept that we are loved by God unconditionally. We are loved by God unconditionally. I meet with so many Christians who feel terrible about themselves, and I remind them that God loves them fully and completely as they are now, warts and all. God doesn't love us for what we're going to become, but for what we are right at this moment. And at the very point when he came into our hearts, God loved us at that point. When we feel stuck, we may well be getting something from being stuck. Maybe we're happy in our stuckness. Maybe that's where we want to be. Perhaps when we're first Christians and we think that serving God is only about Sundays, that then gives us the opportunity to behave exactly how we feel like during the week in our work and our leisure time. And then God begins to challenge us about the way we live. And it can become a thing of great reluctance to change that to an everyday, every minute following Jesus. So I love that God takes us as we are, right from the start, right at the periphery. I remember going to visit a young Indian woman in Calcutta, and she had she'd recently been a convert, and she was the first of her massive family to be converted, and she was in her 20s. And on the wall was a picture of Ganesh, who's a Hindu god, and also a picture of Jesus. And the people that went with me said, we see this as Christians as a good thing, but we also pray that God will work, that over the years, Ganesh will be replaced by the central picture of Jesus alone. So God takes us as we are and then works to transform us, to change us, to bring us challenges. So most, if not all, humans experience crises in their lives. But maybe for the Christian, we shouldn't try with all our might to escape from these. These moments are there to be what are God learning experiences, going deeper. That diver that went into the caves in the Mendip, he didn't get anywhere by not risking anything. He had to dive deep in order to find new ways forward. And these events, these crises that we face, frequently provide the energy for movement in our spiritual journey, even enabling us to unstick from our stuckness. We learn to wonder about meaning. Our present view becomes inadequate. We ask deeper questions. I think one of my biblical heroes these days is Thomas, the disciple, and people often call him Doubting Thomas. But I think that he brought up questions and Jesus answered them. He wanted to go deeper. He was not content with a simple faith. He wanted answers to his questions, and Jesus gave him answers. Are we people that seek God in a deeper, more committed, more involved kind of way? Are we Zechariah, that we refuse to respond to the supernatural? We think, I thought I saw an angel, but maybe I didn't really. How will we respond when the supernatural happens? I think the more that people talk to me, the more I realise that the supernatural's all around us. Sometimes, very occasionally, we notice it. Most of the time, we don't notice it. So just to conclude, you may be perfectly happy where you are spiritually. You're walking in green pasture, remember Psalm 23. And if you're walking in green pastures, enjoy, appreciate, build up your strength, because the need to journey will come. But you may feel in limbo. I think I talked to you about my time between from my old church, Barefield, and coming here. And that was a very difficult time. Maybe you feel in limbo. Maybe you don't know what is next. Talk to another Christian who you know and respect. Listen to them as the Holy Spirit speaks through them. Seek God's guidance, like we were saying, through the Bible, through prayer, through listening to and talking to other Christians that have been on this journey a long time. Remember that when the rich young ruler, you remember in the Bible, approached Jesus about attaining heaven, Jesus looked on him. First of all, he looked on him with great love and compassion. And then he challenged him to go to give up his wealth. If you're finding that there's a new way of knowing God, but that means losing some of the assumptions that you once held dear, go back to the beginning. Recognize your love, your longing for God, and ask for the Holy Spirit's help as you move forward into previously unexplored realms. God bless you as you journey. Amen.